God specializes in bringing good out of bad. Now, friends, this verse, this promise is not for everybody. We know that God causes everything to work together for good for those who love God. This is not a promise to everybody. It's only for those who are giving God the pieces and say, God, I love you. I take the pieces of my broken life and put them back together. God weaves even our mistakes and even our disappointments and even our hurts and even our sins into his plan.
Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Today, we continue in our series called Life's Healing Choices. In these lessons, Rick offers an in-depth biblical look at overcoming the hurts, hang-ups, and habits that hold us back in life. Now, in just a few moments, we're going to tell you about a great video resource that will show you step-by-step how to let go of your past hurts, hang-ups, and habits once and for all, called the Life's Healing Choices Study Kit, an 8-session DVD and workbook. You can take a sneak peek at it while you listen today just by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 99000. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called The Sharing Choice.
A couple months ago, some of you remember that I wrote about the story of Elijah in one of the News and Views. And in that, I talked about the story of Elijah, who was one of God's favorite guys in the Bible. And God let him take a little vacation at a little bubbling brook called Cherith. And he said, Elijah, I want you to go to this place and I want you to stay there. And Elijah got quite comfortable. It was like a little resort spa for him. It said the bird supernaturally brought food. And, you know, and he didn't have to go hunt for it. And it said the water was clear and fresh and there were trees to sleep under. And he was having a good old time. And then one of my favorite verses in the Bible, it says, and then the brook dried up. Have you ever had the brook dry up in your life? Yes. When you lose a job, when something you were depending on all of a sudden isn't there anymore, and you were depending on that friend for support, or you were depending on that family member who died, or you were depending on that job, or you had some kind of structure underneath you that you were counting on, that deal, or whatever. Something that you are really depending on for your sustenance, and then all of a sudden, it just dries up. And that friend's not there anymore. And they moved away, or they died, or something. And the brook will often dry up in your life. Now, when Elijah was in this situation, and the brook dries up, he gets mad at God. And he says, God, don't you love me? Here you were providing food for me and water and refreshment and trees and I was relaxing and having a great old time and all of a sudden the brook's not working anymore. Don't you love me? And God says, of course I love you, Elijah. I love you. I just don't want you at the brook anymore. I don't want you at the brook anymore. And as long as it was going, you weren't going to go anywhere. I didn't create you to simply sit by a brook the rest of your life. There are things to do. There are places to go, people to see, jobs to accomplish, missions to fulfill, goals to reach. And I don't want you staying at the brook your entire life, and you aren't going to move until I finally dried it up. Sometimes God dries the brook up in your life because he doesn't want you doing what he wanted you doing a year ago. God led Elijah to the brook. And just as soon, Elijah would have stayed there. He got comfortable. And God said, well, that's not what I want him to do forever. So he dries the brook up. Sometimes God has to use pain to get our attention. Now, the point is, when you talk about your pain with other people, you're going to have a willing ear, particularly if you're talking about pain they're going through at that moment. But for God to use the pain that's happened in your life for the good of other people and for his purposes and for your benefit, you have to be authentic. You have to be honest. You can't sugarcoat it. You can't fake it. You can't pretend about it. You got to be real and honest about the hurts in your life. Now, the best example of this is, again, the Apostle Paul. As I said, probably the greatest Christian who ever lived next to Jesus himself. And Paul In his life, if you read through the New Testament and all those books that he wrote, he is very honest about five different things in his life, things that we don't like to talk to other people about. But Paul had such an impact and single-handedly, you know, revolutionized the Roman Empire, and Christianity spread all over because he was willing to be honest about things we're not willing to be honest about. What are they? You might write these down. They're on your outline. To help other people, I must be honest about these five things. First, my feelings. I have to be open with my feelings. Johnny Baker was helping me with this point last night. And he talked about, you know, this is kind of hard for men. He said, you know, as men, there's two feelings we're honest about. Really, when we're hungry and we want sex. But that's about it. He goes, we don't really talk about much else. We're not guys who really share our feelings very well. Notice Paul says, we have spoken frankly to you. We have opened our hearts wide. Paul says, I didn't just teach you, I opened my heart. I shared my feelings. And if you're going to have an impact in the lives of other people, you got to learn to share your feelings. Then I learned to share my faults. And that's a little bit harder. I have to be humble about my faults. In the Bible, Paul tells us, each of us must bear the faults and the burdens of his own, for none of us is perfect. So that's pretty easy to admit, but we just are honest about our faults, and we're specific about them. Third thing you have to be honest about, if you're going to be an impact on others, is your failures. I have to be honest about my failures, frank about my failures. Notice Paul says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. He's going, man, I'm it. And if you read the rest of the passage, he goes, you know, I helped kill a guy. I stood there when they were stoning Stephen, and he said, I persecuted the church. And he is very frank about his faults and his failures. Fourth, I need to be truthful about my frustrations. And you got to stop saying, well, it doesn't bother me, or it's no big deal, or forget it. No, you be honest about your frustrations. The things in your life that you can't seem to get control of, that helps other people. Paul says, I have the desire to do what's right, but I cannot carry it out. Don't you feel that way sometimes? You want to do the right thing, but you end up not doing it. He says, I keep doing the evil that I don't want to do. He said, all that stuff I don't want to do, I keep doing it. I don't want to look at that. I don't want to read that. I don't want to act that way. I don't want to say that. I don't want to respond that way, but I do. It is in that kind of gut-level honesty you make a difference in people's lives. Truthful about my feelings and my faults and my failures and my frustrations. And then one more on the back of your outline. He says, I got to be honest, and this is the hardest one of all, about my fears. We hate to tell people what we're afraid of. But every time you share a fear with somebody else, it does two things. It lowers the level of fear in your own life, and it encourages that other person. It lowers the level of fear in your life. Fear builds when you keep it a secret. And it lowers it in your own life, and it helps other people. My fears, he says, I do admit that I have fears. This is Paul talking. That when I come to you, that you'll disappoint me, and I'll disappoint you. And frustration with each other, we'll fall to pieces. Just isn't going to happen. What is Paul saying here? He's saying, you know what? We're all broken. Why don't we just admit it? And if I hold it in, it makes me miserable. It doesn't help anybody else. I need to learn to be honest about my fears and my faults and my failures and my frustrations, and my feelings. When I do that, I get healing and other people get healing. So this first thing, learn to share how pain got your attention. Second thing, I need to learn to share what I've learned in the process. I need to learn to share what I have learned in the process. In other words, since that crisis in your life, since that trouble, since that problem, since that pain, what have I learned from it? What are the lessons that I learned and that I can pass on? You've heard people say it's wise to learn from experience. Well, it's true, but let me tell you something better than that. Yes, it's wise to learn from experience. It is wiser to learn from the experience of others. Why? Because I don't have time to make all the mistakes myself. If I have to learn everything by personal experience, I'll die before I learn it all. And isn't it a whole lot better for me to learn from your failure than to go out and do it myself and fail and then go, oh, I shouldn't have done that? It's less painful and it's quicker for you to learn from the experiences of other people. That's why you need to read history. It's why you need to read the Bible. It's why you need a mentor in your life, no matter how old you are. It's why you need spiritual partners. It's why you need a spiritual small group. Because we learn from each other. Go, oh, somebody who's already been through that can help me move along quicker.
The second half of today's show is coming up next. If you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, just go to PastorRick.com and click on his social links. Oh, and while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the other helpful resources. That's rickwarren.org or just text the word daily to 99000. The second half of today's lesson is coming up.
We've all been hurt by other people. We've hurt ourselves and we've hurt others. And as a result, every single one of us ends up with some sort of hurt, hang-up, or habit. But the question we all face is, where do we go from here? The Life's Healing Choices DVD Study Kit from Pastor Rick Warren offers freedom from those hurts, hang-ups, and habits through 8 healing choices that promise true happiness and life transformation. Using the Beatitudes of Jesus as a foundation, Rick leads you through 8 video sessions that offer practical, encouraging biblical teaching. Each session includes real-life stories of men and women whose lives have been transformed by living out the 8 choices presented in this study kit. Through making each of these choices, you will find God's pathway to wholeness, growth, spiritual maturity, happiness, and healing. You'll find real answers, real hope, and a real future, one healing choice at a time. We'd love to send you this life-changing DVD and workbook as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this broadcast ministry. Call 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com right now to request the Life's Healing Choices DVD Study Kit from Pastor Rick Warren. Again, that's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Thanks.
Once again, here's Rick.
You're not fully healed, you're not fully recovered, you're not fully mature until you're able to start sharing with other people the hurts and the habits and the hang-ups that you have been going through. Doesn't mean you're completely worked them all out of your own life. It means you're able to say, I'm one step ahead of you. Let me tell you where you can head toward. And what do I share? I share how pain got my attention, and I share how I learned from pain, the lessons that I learned from pain. Now, there's a third thing God wants you to share. He wants you to share how God can bring good out of bad. And all of us have examples of this in our lives that we can share. You can look at your life and think of times how God brought good out of bad. Now, one of God's great promises in the Bible is Romans 8:28. It's one of the most well-known verses in the Bible. It's also one of the most misunderstood. So let's look at it word by word in Romans 8:28. There on your outline, this is God's promise. We know that God causes everything to work together for good, for the good of those who love God. We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God. Now let's look at what this says. First, what does it not say? It doesn't say, we know that everything will work out the way I want it to work out. Because that's not true. It just doesn't happen that way. Things don't always work out the way I want them to work out. It does not promise all things will have a happy ending here on earth. That's not true either. There's a lot of unhappy endings on earth. This is a broken planet. This is not heaven. So we shouldn't expect everything to have a happy ending on earth. It doesn't. What does this verse promise to us about recovery and about growth? Well, first it says, we know. In other words, we're not guessing. We're not hoping. We're not wishing. We're not desiring. We know for certain. This is a fact of life. We can be confident. We can be absolutely certain. We know this for a certainty that we can stake our lives on it. And what do we know? We know that God causes. What does that mean? It means your life is not an accident. There's no such thing as random chance. There's no such thing as bad luck. There is a grand design behind everything. Grand designers all behind it. Our lives are not a result of fate. Our lives are not a result of chance. Our lives are not a result of accident. You are not an accident. God had a plan and purpose for your life long before you were even born. And there is a grand design. Now, we make mistakes, but God never makes mistakes. And everything that happens in life happens because of choices, not chance. Choices that God has made, choices that I have made, and choices that you have made. It's not chance. It's a choice. We know, we're certain, that God is the grand designer. He causes, notice, all things, everything. Now, what is included in all things? My mistakes? Yes. Are your sins included in all things? Yes. Are the sins of others included in it? Yes. Are your genetics and your DNA included in that? Yes. Are all of the circumstances throughout history included in that? Yes. Are all of the bad decisions that other people make and I make? Yes. All things. Does that include miscarriage? Yes. Does that include divorce? Yes. Does that include failure? Yes. God says, I fit it all into the plan. There's no part that doesn't fit into the plan. I fit it all into the plan. We know that God causes all things. Now, if we just stop there, that would make God the author of evil. God is not the author of evil. No, nothing that is evil in the world was caused by God. So what is he saying here? Look at the rest of the verse. We know that God causes all things to work together for good. Now notice, that verse does not say all things are good. They're not. There's a lot of bad in the world. There's a lot of evil in the world. If you don't believe in evil, you just travel with me around the world. I'll show you the face of evil straight up in your face. There's a lot of bad evil. When little children are stolen from their parents and sold into sex trafficking, that's evil. And when world leaders, take money and store it in Swiss account banks while their people starve to death, that's evil. When people betray each other, that's evil. When people torture each other, that's evil. There is real evil in the world. So not all things are good in the world. Cancer is bad. Molestation is bad. There's a lot of bad in the world. But it says there, God causes all things to work together for good for those who love God. Now, not separately, but together. There are a lot of things that don't taste good on their own, but you mix them together, they taste good. I've used this illustration before, but I like it, so I'm going to tell it again. When my wife makes a cake, she takes all these individual ingredients and she works them together. Now, if I go down to the kitchen and I watch her and I start getting a little anxious and I eat any of the individual ingredients, they taste bitter. I don't just naturally go into the kitchen and take a handful of Crisco and eat it. Doesn't taste good. I don't go in and automatically open up the refrigerator, take out a couple of raw eggs and suck them down. Doesn't taste good. I don't even take a swig of vanilla straight. Doesn't taste good. I don't take a flour and eat it by itself. It's dry. It's tasteless. I certainly don't take a spoonful of salt and eat it. And I wouldn't even take a cup of sugar and just eat it by itself. It wouldn't taste good. But when Kay works them all together, shoot, you don't even have to cook it. I'll eat the batter. Okay? Don't even cook it. Just give me that cake batter and I'll just start. Now, when it's worked together, individual bitter elements actually come to taste good. Never by themselves. There are things in your life that you've experienced that were flat out bitter and they left a bad taste in your mouth. And they weren't good. They were bad. But God says, you know what? I'm bigger than the bad. And I can work it all together and I can make a cake out of it. And it'll be delicious. And your life will be delicious. And your life will be something you take to a party. And all of those bitter elements put together, I will work them together for good. Can God really bring good out of bad? Oh, yes, he can. How about the crucifixion? The death of his son, that was bad. They tortured him. They spit on him. They beat him. And then they hung him as a shameless criminal. Did God bring any good out of that? Oh, yeah, just the salvation of the world. God specializes in bringing good out of bad. Now, friends, this verse, this promise is not for everybody. We know that God causes everything to work together for good for those who love God. This is not a promise to everybody. It's only for those who are giving God the pieces and say, God, I love you. I take the pieces of my broken life and put them back together. God weaves even our mistakes and even our disappointments and even our hurts and even our sins into his plan. What a God. That is the kind of God we worship.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. If you'd like a copy of today's message, including portions that we didn't have time for, or you'd like to sign up for Rick's free Daily Hope email devotional, just go to PastorRick.com. That's Pastor Rick with two R's in the middle, .com. You'll find this message and others along with more helpful resources. Rick will be back in a moment with a final word of encouragement, but first, it's no secret that we've all been hurt by other people. We've hurt ourselves, we've hurt others, and as a result, every single one of us ends up with some sort of hurt, hang-up, or habit. But the question we all face is, where do we go from here? The Life's Healing Choices DVD study kit from Pastor Rick Warren offers freedom from those hurts, hang-ups, and habits through 8 healing choices that promise true happiness and life transformation. Here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
You may be so embarrassed by certain issues in your life that you won't talk about them with anybody. But let me ask you a question. How well is that working in your life? How's that strategy working for you? Is it helping you change? The answer is obviously no. If you could change your life on your own, you would have already done so, but you can't, so you won't. You need other people to help team tackle that problem. You see, God wired us in a way that we need each other. And that means we can't get rid of all of our bad habits and all of our hang-ups on our own. You can't do it by yourself because God made us to need each other. This is why I keep saying small groups are so important to your spiritual health and growth. And that's why I want to invite you to do a Bible study on this with some other people. This series, Life's Healing Choices, we have made available in a small group curriculum and DVD packet. And it's easy to do. All you need to do is get 3 or 4 friends together, say, let's study this material for 5 or 6 weeks. You watch the DVD together. You discuss the questions in the study group. And here's the clincher. I'm offering to send you Life's Healing Choices, small group study guide and kit when you give a financial gift to help support Daily Hope. Send us a gift, I'll send you the kit, and you can start a Life's Healing Choices small group study. You'll be blessed, and so will your friends. And my prayer is that you find a small group of people who love you unconditionally and are going to give you the support to make the changes you've always wanted to make. Thanks for listening today. Thanks for helping us financially. Join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
We'd love to send you this life-changing DVD and workbook as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this broadcast ministry. Call 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com right now to request the Life's Healing Choices DVD study kit from Pastor Rick Warren. Again, that's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.